Hello, welcome to another episode of Papa Bear Hikes.
And today we'd like to welcome with us a YouTuber, Terry Seven Coyle, who after taking a 5-year hiatus from hiking and blogging, he's now going to go out and make another documentary about the Appalachian Trail. Terry, welcome to Papa Bear Hikes.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And Terry, I've been watching your YouTube for years and really enjoyed them. So start off, why don't you tell us where this all started with you? My understanding is in 2008, you kind of just decided you were going to go out and start hiking on the Appalachian Trail.
Well, I lived in Fort Lauderdale for 35 years, and rent was getting insane, and things weren't going so well. And I read a lot back in those days, and I'm reading a fictional book set in Georgia. It's not about the trail, but there's a breakfast scene. Guys having breakfast in a diner. A hiker comes in. The only seat available is for this guy. So one paragraph, they mention the trail. Had no computer back then, so I go to the library and I looked it up. I'm like, wow. First thing I thought was, I could camp legally anywhere on that trail and not be bum-rushed out, not pay no rent. I didn't even know what a through hike was. So this is in May. I took off in June. Didn't know what the hell I was doing. Had all the wrong gear. There was no Facebook for me. No all this information. None of that crap. And I wound up doing about 1,700 miles. I turned around, I remember, somewhere up in Pennsylvania, and I decided I'd go back to Damascus, Virginia, and spend the winter there. That was kind of my whole goal, was to find a small town with cheaper rent. And I got hooked.
That happens. It happened to me at 7 years old. Went out on a short hike with my dad and overnight on the AT up in the New Jersey area around the Delaware Water Gap.
Right.
And now here I am at 57 trying to figure out, all right, what sections do I want to do in 2022? It's addictive. It's infectious.
Oh, I hear that. Yeah, I went out after that year. I went out 9 more years, 17. I only got in about 300 miles in 17. I wanted to try something different. I got a old van and I went out west and I lived in it for 18 months and I hated it. It was boring. I thought, well, I'll make videos about living in the van. And I tell you, it's boring. You want to watch me watching Netflix all day in the van? So, you know, it's time to get back to the trail.
Well, your videos show the lifestyle or the culture of the AT. And it's more than just a through hike. And with you, I think you show us that it is, you know, hike your own hike. Focus on the journey, not the destination. And you've been doing that on your hikes, it sounds like.
Well, 13 was my last serious hike. And as you've seen in the documentary, I got to Andover, Maine, and my knee was shot. And I didn't want to have to be rescued, so I stopped at Andover, Maine. 14, all winter long, I'm waiting. I'm looking so forward to this. Got everything together. I get on the Greyhound from Damascus. I head down to Gainesville, Georgia. I get off the bus at night. There's no backpack. Backpack's lost. 2 weeks later, I get the backpack back because I knew some friends at the Bristol Greyhound. Anyway, I got it back. I got on the trail and I realized, hey, no through hike this year. Let's just relax and have fun. And if you saw the documentary, I decided so many people worry about starting that trail, going out there, they never camp. I wanted to show that it can be fun. I could have edited it to where it was miserable the whole time, but I wanted to show that it was fun. But then I got the rep as the party guy. And that's really not me. Yes, I have my safety meetings, but this next one I want to do after being away for 5 years and at my age, I want to show the real thing. Won't be no partying, no drinking. Yeah, there'll be safety meetings. I mean, come on, it's the Appalachian Trail. But this is going to be the real deal this time. I want to be remembered differently than as the party guy. Plus, I was having a midlife crisis back then.
When did you start videoing your hikes?
It was 13. I never even had a camera up until 2013. I mean, come on, we got to think back. I did have a flip phone. And I'm at Trail Days, and I go to watch this guy's movie, his documentary, called Flip Flop Flippin'. If I remember right, isn't his name Squatch?
Yeah, I believe so.
So I watched that, and it was funny, and I thought, I could do that. And I actually had a camcorder. I had it for something else in Damascus. And I went and picked it up out of my storage. And I thought, well, I could do this. So that's why 13 starts off after Trail Days. And yeah, I see him every year at Trail Days, and I always, you know, say he's this guy that inspired me to do it.
You've taken a 5-year hiatus from hiking. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I'm in the van out in the Mojave Desert, really tired of it. And a friend of mine in Virginia had just rent an apartment, has a daughter, and could use help with the bills. And I was tired of doing that. So I came back east. I get here, and of course, back east, the car inspections are different than California. All you got to do out there is pass the smog test. So my van wouldn't pass the test. I wound up scrapping it. Kind of got stuck here. Then the lockdown happened. And I sat around for a year doing nothing. I put on weight. I got out of shape. And when they lifted the mask mandate, it's like something snapped in me. And I just came alive again. Started working out. I decided then I'm going out the through hike again. 9 months time is enough time to get my knees good again. I'm getting there. Treadmill's over there. Weight bench is over there. I'll be ready. But yeah, when they lifted that mask mandate, I wanted to live again. And I'm watching my old videos, and I realized I never felt more alive than I did when I was on the trail.
I can relate to that. I haven't spent as much time on the trail as you have. I've hiked the Long Trail up in Vermont, and I've hiked the Appalachian Trail at this point. I could say from Wind Gap, Pennsylvania, up to the Vermont-New Hampshire border. But when I'm out there for 2.5-3 weeks, I don't know, there's a certain sense of liberation. It's maybe the best way I can put it, where I feel like I'm just in control of my own day, time.
That's great. Anytime out there is great, but it's different when you're out there for 6 months. And one of my favorite things is being completely self-contained, having everything I need with me all the time. That was just something I really enjoyed. And the people, if you want to complete a through hike, your number one way to do it, make friends. Your friends will get you through. They'll lift you up when you're down, and you'll lift them up when they're down. Guarantee that's the best way to do a through hike.
That subject, my experience has been you meet some of the nicest people both on the trail and off the trail in these towns that go along the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, yeah. Well, you leave politics and religion out of it. That's real world stuff. I get upset if somebody tells me some major news. I don't want to hear that. I'm out here to be away from that. So everybody's kind of like-minded. We're out there because we want to do this, and you get along with people.
Yeah, every year when I return from my 2-3 week mental health break, as my wife likes to call it, I come home wanting to hear less and know less about the real world.
Oh, yeah.
So especially I want to go back into the woods.
Especially nowadays. I want a small part of my reason for going back out again next year to save money. I'm on a fixed income, and I'm not getting by anymore. I can actually save up some money on the trail. You know, people told, by the way, if you want to know how much money you need for the trail, my suggestion for the average hiker for 6 months is $5,000. That's a question. You know, that question always comes.
Yeah, and you also see where people can do it on a shoestring, where people can spend over $10,000, depending on how you want to go about it.
Yeah, on the shoestring thing, what I always say is you've made friends out there, your buddies all going into town, they want to have pizza and beer, but you can't. You got to stay on the trail and eat your ramen. It's not going to work. Just save your money and wait.
Right. I want to go into town. To me, that's as much of the experience as the actual hiking on the trail or those times you go into town.
how many, I watch other people's videos of the trail and they just skip right over the towns. I never understood that. I mean, now I don't want to go in other people's videos. One thing I hate is that holding the camera, walking down the trail crap. I just, never mind.
Well, I'll do it for you. Right. Today, I hiked 10 miles. I'm staying at this shelter and I ate this meal. Tomorrow, I'm going to hike to this shelter, eat this meal, get water here.
Yeah. And the ones, yeah, they just walk and they talk. I mean, that's why I try to interview other hikers to keep it interesting, but I don't want it to go too long. If I ask you your trail name while you're hiking and you take 5 minutes to answer, you're not going to make the edit because it bogs down. I mean, I've watched TV and movies my whole life. And in this day and age, even me, I want it now. I want it instant. You know what I hate about YouTube videos on any subject? They'll spend 5 minutes telling you what they're going to tell you about. Just get to it.
I already clicked it. I know what it's about. I have a really good idea before I press that button. What this
exactly
is about.
But I would suggest any other YouTubers, you know, talk to some of the other hikers and kind of show what's going on. Just don't walk down the trail telling us that how many miles you've done today.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using the permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible, high-quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
Terry, I read, and here's where I, you know, when I, like I said, I've been following your YouTube videos.
All right.
And, but then I came across a post on Facebook. You're going to now go back out and you're going to do a new documentary for 2022. Tell us about, you got into a little bit, but let's talk about your 2022 documentary.
Well, I'm starting in March because I want to be way past trail days. No trail days this year. I won't even go into that. It's going to be a real hike. You'll see the bad and the good. And I just want to make a quality video so that when I'm dead and gone, I don't have, oh yeah, that was the party guy. I don't want that. I want to be known. The guy that showed me the trail can be fun. And now I'm going to show you what it's really like out there. Plus, I don't drink anymore. No more midlife crisis. Just, I admit, I partied back then, but that's just not me anymore. I'll show you the real deal.
We need that.
And I also want to connect to the older crowd, because I'll be 64 by the time March rolls around, and show it from an older perspective too. A lot of older hikers out there.
And this is something we see. There's that gap, right? We see the young people who have that time, maybe just graduated from high school or college.
Right.
The people that are like 55 and older who have retired and now have the time to go out and do this.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot in between there. I've noticed that too, definitely.
And I think it's important to look at it from through the eyes of an older hiker, because I think people reach an age where they tell themselves, I can't do this. There's no way I could hike that many miles every day for this many days.
Well, the other thing I try to do is I try to save people the embarrassment of quitting the first 15 miles in Georgia. 2016, me and my buddy Shonigan, you know him from my videos, we were at Gooch Gap. That's 15 miles from Springer Mountain. It's right close to a paved road. So it's like the first place you can really get a shuttle to get the hell out of there if you realize it's not for you. So many people quitting that first 15 miles. I'm trying to reach them now to stress how anybody can do it. Children have through-hiked. Really old, Nimble Will just, I think, did another one. really old people have done it, but it's not for everybody, and it's not easy. You have to prepare for it. You got to prepare now. Walk up 10 flights of stairs. See how you enjoy that with a backpack on. I got a treadmill. I keep it jacked up. Probably right now it's maybe 30 degrees. I'll get it up to 40. And go on that with your backpack on. You got to understand it is not easy. They'll buy all this equipment. They'll buy the wrong stuff, even though I tell them over and over and over what you need, what you don't need. They'll tell all their friends and family all winter. They'll tell them they're crazy, just like my friends in Fort Lauderdale did with me. You know, and they start bringing up deliverance and crap. But you got to understand it's hard. So then you get out there and you realize, I just can't do this. And then you got to go home, tell all your friends and family why you quit. I just want to say people that. But I also want to say you can do it only if you enjoy the idea of living outdoors for 6 months.
Would you say it's that if you could get past there's no measurement, like point A, B, or C, but you get to a certain point where you kind of settle in and you say, all right, I can do this, and it may be bar injury or some sort of emergency, you could cross that threshold and say, okay, I'm getting there. I'm going to get to the bottom.
Oh, yeah, unless you have some real physical problem, it's a mental thing. Going uphill all day long is not fun. I mean, I don't usually cuss a whole lot in normal life, but I know once I've been on the trail for a couple of weeks, I'm cussing all the time. In the beginning, I used to, I wish I could get my hands on the people who routed this trail, make them high. But you got to remember, when they put that trail through, this is the eastern United States. Land wasn't just available. They had to get it to where they could get it. So trail doesn't make sense. I always say it does two things. It goes up, it goes down. That's the trail.
We're going to get from point A to point B, and here's how we're going to do it. Right? Here's where we have public land to get us there. And that was pretty much the planning going into it. Back then, they didn't have the option of the switchback that you see a lot in a lot of the Western trails.
One thing that always aggravates me is how Mackay gets all the credit. It was Myron Avery that pushed that trail through, and you never hear about him. I heard he was a real dick, but he had to be a dick to get that trail pushed through the way it did. If it was Mackay, we wouldn't even have the AT. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of my pet peeves about the trail. Look up Myron Avery. He's the true creator of the Appalachian Trail. Oh, and it's pronounced Appalachian, by the way.
I live in up north, and I always get it wrong. And I'm trying to get better at that, but I know it's Appalachian. Yeah.
Well, in Florida, we have Appalachicola. It's not Appalachian cola.
Right.
Just a thought.
Well, I think that it's important. I love history. I have a degree in history, So I just think that the historical part of this is important.
Oh, in Damascus Library, when I lived there, they have all the old books. So I read all the old guys, you know, the Tuba Man, the Barefoot Sisters, the guy with Ziggy the Cat. I mean, some of those guys, you know, I've read all about all those old guys. And then back in the days when I think Baltimore Jack was hiking in blue jeans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jack, rest in peace, Jack. That's a true legend there, Baltimore Jack. You know, I talked to him two nights before he died. And I said to Jack, he wasn't feeling that good. It was night. We're out there at the motel, Ron Haven's motel. We're sitting out there. And I go, Jack, I wish I could just set up the camera and let you tell stories for 2 hours. And he goes, well, maybe we will. And then I was with my friend that had a car. We went up to Hot Springs to hit this hiker feed. And by the time we come back, Jack had passed. So, you know the stories that man had.
He was such a big influence. And I'm learning that more and more now with the podcast as I talk to AT hikers, through hikers.
Right.
There's a young man who wrote a book, Cy Sizemore. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was up in New Hampshire. And I can't remember what year he through hiked. It was earlier, but he had met Baltimore Jack and they had become friends. And he says that guy had such an influence. He changed my life, he said.
Oh, yeah. I knew Jack. I met him my first winter in Damascus. I knew Jack for quite a while. Never really wanted to be on camera, though. I think there's just a couple of times, one time he's walking by a trail days and says hi, but he never really wanted to do the camera thing. And I always ask, never video anybody without asking first.
Yep, some people are out there, I'm not going to say to escape maybe criminal activity, but maybe they just feel like, I just don't want people knowing I'm out here. Some people are just very private.
Oh, I hear that. Yeah, I've had my ups and downs with privacy. You get a little bit of YouTube fame, and the next thing you know, the weirdos come out. But I think they're all gone now, hopefully. Leave me alone on Facebook.
On that note of weirdos, any encounters, human encounters, because the animal encounters are there, but we're all prepared for those. But any human encounters that kind of made you feel like it was either dangerous or just a sketchy situation?
Not dangerous, but weird. I'll give you one quick example. We're down Sean was there. Shonigan was there. We're there at Bear's Den. Right, Bear's Den. But we're still down by the road because I'm camping for free. Couldn't afford to pay the $10 tent spot up at Bear's Den. So this hiker comes walking down the trail and he goes, which way is the hostel and which way is the trail? So we go, left, right around the bend up there is Bear's Den. Down that way, then look left is the trail. He goes, I don't believe you. I'm going to go look for myself. Yeah.
Like you had a motive to like send him in the wrong direction.
I've met a couple of those, but I've never felt danger from a human. The only animal problem I ever had was this person's dog. I'm coming up on a shelter, still somewhere in the south, I forget where. And when you come up the shelter, you're coming up behind the back of the shelter from the trail. All of a sudden, this big dog comes running up to attack me. I have my hiking pole, so I put him up and made an X, shoved it off. I'm yelling, whose dog is this? Ironically, it's a guy at the shelter giving away his free samples of freeze-dried food that he wants to sell and promote. And he brings his old dog, who's half blind out there, half deaf. Anyway, I wasn't famous or on Facebook back then, or I'd have laid into this guy. But that's the only animal problem I've ever had. Now, here's a hiker tip for you people who are going to worry about bears. Have your hiking poles. Better have hiking poles. About every 100 feet, I go bang, bang with my hiking poles. That's an unnatural sound. Bear will hear that and will get off the trail. So I've only seen one bear in the wild. I've seen about five bears in Shenandoah at the wayside parking lots over the years. So don't worry about bears.
That's been my experience. I hike with hiking poles, and I make it a practice. Excuse me. I just kind of bang them on rocks as I'm hiking along to make some noise, or sometimes, like you said, bang them together. And I do make some sort of unnatural noise every, maybe 100, 200 feet. And I've only seen them running. I've seen them, going in a different direction.
You know where I got that from? I'm watching the Waltons one time, and they're lost in the woods, and the kid takes two rocks and bangs them together and says, yeah, my dad said that makes an unnatural sound.
They did learn something from TV back then when you were being told.
It's always worked for me. Like I say, no bear problems with me. Never had any animal problems. I don't sleep in shelters, though, so no mouse problems. I tent. I don't know why anybody would want to sleep in a shelter. My theory is that you're afraid and you figure if you're crammed in there with everybody, somebody else will get mauled by the bear. Bring a tent or hammock if you're one of those hammock people.
What advice would you give to somebody? I'm going to break this down into two questions, Terry.
Sure.
You got the hiker number one who has the money to buy the proper gear they need to hike the trail, but just maybe they're in that 55 and older age range, and you're saying, physically, I just don't think I could go out there for that many months and hike the Appalachian Trail. What would you say to them?
Get in shape. I made a post on Facebook maybe 2-3 months ago, and I thought it was very reasonable. I said, get a friend to drive you 10 miles from home. Get out, walk home. I don't care if it's on roads or if it's on sidewalks. If you can't do that, do not think about coming out on that trail. I saw a post in one of the hiking groups a couple of days ago. They were talking about they had some kind of medical problems and they were wondering if they could be in a hostel at least every two nights. It was another group, wasn't in one of my hiking groups. I just left it alone. If you have serious medical, the trail ain't easy. I might look like it was in 2014, but it ain't easy. One year I blew out my knee. I had to quit in North Carolina. I come home one year. I weighed about 135 pounds. Normally I weigh 165. Anyway, what's the second part of that?
The second part of this, right? That's a good answer. I like that. Like, be prepared, the physical part of it.
Get in shape.
Right. The gear is fun, right? We all like to buy nice, shiny things and you'll see.
Well, if you get the right gear. If you get the right gear, the lightweight stuff is really going to help you. The lighter that pack is, the better, but you got to be in some kind of physical condition.
Right. That lightweight pack isn't going to make up for the fact that you can't hike with or without a pack 10 miles, like you said.
And one thing about a backpack, when you put it on, maybe you'll realize if you're 20 pounds overweight, you've been carrying that 20 pounds the whole time. Your body just slowly got used to it. If you're 50, backpack will teach you real quick what extra weight feels like walking around. So it is the all-you-can-eat diet. If you get out there and you got the mental toughness, I've seen people who have lost weight if they go out there for that reason, as long as you enjoy it and you got the mental toughness. But just get in the best shape you can. But you don't have to be an athlete to do the trail. You just got to enjoy it and be mentally tough.
The second part of the question addresses the people that maybe don't feel they can do this for financial reasons. I just don't have enough money. You spoke about $5,000 being a reasonable budget to do the trail. What would you say to somebody that feels like finances might be getting in the way?
Save your money, wait another year. Fastest way to go off the trail, barring injury, is to run out of money. No money, no food, no food, no hike. You can't bum off other hikers. You have to be self-sufficient. And that, well, I'm just going to scrimp by on ramen. Maybe you're tough enough to do that, but most people aren't.
Yeah, would you agree? We should be approaching this. This isn't like I'm going to conquer the trail type of approach, but if I'm going out there doing this, I want to make sure I'm enjoying myself. It sounds like your documentary is going to enjoy. It's going to address the fun side of this, that the trail can be fun. But as you mentioned, having enough money to make sure you're also enjoying yourself.
Yeah, if you're not enjoying it, why would you do it? The worst reason to do a through hike is to say you've done a through hike. I saw another post in another hiking group about a week ago because of some balance problem, inner ear balance. They didn't want to do Katahdin, but they were concerned that the ATC wouldn't send them a 2,000-miler patch if they didn't do Katahdin. Now, this is a group that wants to do it in 2023. If that's your mindset, you're never going to get to Katahdin. If all you want is that patch, I could give a damn about some patch or being recognized by the ATC. I won't go into them. I try to stay positive. That's not why you do a through hike. You do it for yourself, for the experience, for the love of being a nomad gypsy. But yeah, if you're worried about you're not going to get your patch from the ATC, you won't get out of Georgia. And if you have balance problems, wait till you hit the Pennsylvania Rocks.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I struggled with whether or not I wanted to register my hike on the long trail. I just kind of felt like, who gives a crap besides me? I mean, let's be honest here. My friends and family would be happy that I accomplished something I wanted to. But beyond that, the hike was for me. And the bottom line is that I enjoy myself. Was it fun for me?
Well, here's something that probably get me in trouble. You always hear about the overcrowding of the trail. Well, the trail may be 2,200 miles long, but it's very narrow. Yeah, we may use that trail, well-defined trail, but we're not going 100 yards off into the woods, messing up the woods. We're only staying on that trail and doing the areas where there's already been camping or where the shelters are. So what? Overusing 1% of that area? I never got that. You know what I'm saying? We're not cutting down trees.
And that's been a topic especially since the pandemic, with the more and more people are getting out and enjoying the outdoors. Up here in the Adirondacks has seen a surge in people going on the peaks up there. But that's a different story. That's a whole different situation here. There you have parking lots that are overfilling and creating situations on roads. But I get what you're saying about the AT, though, is that, like you said, the trail is there. The campsites are already there. It's not, you know, people are discouraged. But you're not supposed to be going in and just saying, okay, I'm just going to camp here tonight. And chop, like you said, chop down some trees or step on some vegetation to set up.
Exactly. The only problem is the trash. I do see that. I'll come up. You never catch the people doing it, but I'll come up to a shelter. There's a fire ring and it's full of garbage. Mm-hmm. I have never been able to catch anybody doing it, but I see it over and over. That's the only bad part, really. But as far as foot traffic and everything else goes, it's just a narrow strip. And hell, I call that the Pennsylvania, New York, that whole section, the urban AT up there. I mean, you're walking behind people's backyards.
Yes. Yeah, that's near where I grew up in New Jersey, and I live in New York now. And yeah, that trail, you're literally walking through people's backyards at times.
And the overcrowding in Georgia, most of those areas are set up for the big crowds. I mean, that Springer Mountain shelter, you could put 100 freaking tents up there. You could camp an army up there. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, you know, I've never registered, never will. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are great tips for people looking to go out and do the trail. So do you have any hikers that you'll be following as you go along here on this, or are you just going to kind of just do your thing, hike from point to point every day and interview people as you come across them? Will you have a companion on the trail?
90% of the time, I like to hike alone during the daytime, but I'll meet up with the same groups at the next shelter or next camp spot. But I usually like to hike alone. I'll have my earbuds in, and I've either got music or an audio book going. My first year on the trail, I didn't have anything like that. Mm-hmm. Gives you way too much time to think. Mm-hmm. I love people. They'll tell me, well, I don't want that. I want to hear nature. And I go, I hope I see you after you've been out there for a month. I love audiobooks when hiking because it's really just exercise. Mm-hmm. And when I work out, I listen to music or books, but definitely bring you some music. Audiobooks, highly recommend, especially if you got to lay around a day waiting for your mail drop that didn't show up or it's pouring down rain all day. Safety meeting, audiobook, great way to kill a day.
All right. Sometimes you might just be stuck in a shelter. Because the weather really stinks, so you're just not feeling that great. You don't need a way to pass the time.
Right? Oh, yeah. You want to hear nature. You want to hear wind? That's about it. Please, rustling.
Well, sitting around the shelter, I would think after 2 or 3 hours, you've heard enough nature. at least as far as I'm concerned, I'd be ready to get walking or want to hear something.
Yeah, I hear that.
Terry, where can we find you? How can we follow you? Yeah, we don't want to go down and find you where you're living, but...
Oh, I'm on Facebook.
Media-wise and YouTube.
I'm on Facebook. Terry Michael Coyle, Coyle. Hiker Trash Video. Not hard to find on YouTube. It's funny, when I started that channel in 13, I was amazed Hiker Trash Video wasn't taken. Now, if you just type in Hiker Trash... There's hundreds of hiker trash this, hiker trash that. That term wasn't all that popular back then. I'm not saying I created it. I didn't, but it wasn't used much. And for those, in case you don't know, I've had to answer this a few times. Hiker trash just means somebody who does a lot of long distance hiking. It's not a bad thing.
Well, you look like trash when you get off the trail, right? You smell.
Yeah, it was just like, it's like biker trash, but we're nicer.
Nobody needs to be afraid of a hiker walking into town. Just keep your distance so you don't pick up our other.
Oh, yeah. You're hitchhiking and you get in a car and all of a sudden all the windows go down. I don't blame them. By the way, I can't believe I've seen this. It's the new, I'm not trying to be an old fart, but the new generation, they think there should be a shuttle for them at every road crossing to go into town. I've seen them post, you know, I need a shuttle. I'm like, put your thumb out. you're going to have to hitchhike. You're going to have to hitchhike sooner or later. And 95% of the time, people pick you up, know you're on the trail. It's so easy. But
you know,
yeah,
going through areas where the trail is, they're used to it. They know. They see somebody in a backpack. They know what's happening.
Well, one woman, a guy's mother, she's in one of the groups, and she's posting, yeah, my son's at such a road crossing, but he can't get a signal. Put his thumb out. I forget where it was, but I've actually hitchhiked that before.
My first time out to the long trail, I had my son with me, DubeTube, and he's 34 now. He just turned 34. But we were going into town. He says, are we going to walk all the way into town? This was after hiking 12 miles. I said, of course not. We're going to hitchhike in. He looked at me like, this was like a foreign concept. I said, you're younger and better looking than I am. Get your thumb out there. And second car pulled over and he looked at me totally amazed.
Back in the 70s, I've hitchhiked across the country. I've hitchhiked from Ohio to Florida about four times. I mean, different time. I agree with that. I would not try to hitchhike anywhere nowadays. Unless it was by the trail,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah, by the trail,
these kids now think there's going to be a shuttle, and that shuttle should get there when they call them, so they
should be waiting.
I've been seeing a lot of complaints from trail angels and shuttle drivers about the entitlement thing going on, and doing a through hike should take that entitlement out of you, but. These people are way up north, and it still hasn't seemed to change their ideas. I don't know. I'm sounding like an old fart now, and I don't want to do that.
I'm sitting here agreeing with you. So
just because you're through hiking don't mean you're entitled to anything. You're not special.
I'd take it 20 years ago to come to a trailhead and somebody actually come and pick you up.
Oh, yeah, or trail magic. Now this... I'm not complaining. I love free food, but it's just everywhere. Everywhere.
Terry, we're going to make sure we put links to your Facebook and your YouTube channel in the description for the podcast. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, giving up your time.
Oh, sure.
I'll be in touch with you as you go along. Maybe we'll even cross paths out there. I'm right now hoping to hike from Damascus up to West Virginia this summer. So actually in May, so it'd be late spring. So I don't know if that would line up, but maybe we will.
Maybe.
Yeah. If we do, that's great. If not, we'll. I'd love to track how your documentary's coming along here. I wish you luck with it, because. People, if you haven't checked out Terry's YouTube, they're entertaining. They're worth watching. And so it's a different way of looking at the trail.
I would really suggest, while there's still time, watch my What Gear to Get videos. Because it's not just my opinion. You talk to anybody who's through hiking. We might have difference on exactly what gear, but it's basically the same stuff. Don't get a bunch of crap you don't need. Anyway, I hope you all have a good through hike.
Yeah. All right, Terry. Thanks again.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to... This is my...
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, please feel free to leave a review. If you found it helpful or useful or just entertaining, let us know. We can be contacted at papabearhikes@gmail.com or check us out at papabearhikes01 on Instagram. Thanks for listening. Get outside and have a great day. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.